Now, when we come to chapter 11, we see God's future purpose with Israel. He's gathering out a remnant and has been now for 1900 years, and he's going to redeem a nation someday. That's exactly what he's saying in chapter 11. Chapter 9, God's past dealings with Israel. Chapter 10, God's present dealings with Israel. He's saving those that will come to him through Christ. The remnant of Israel is finding salvation. God's always had a remnant. And somebody says, well, it seems to me to be a very small remnant. It's larger than you think it is. I'm confident of that. But after all, there are about 15 million of the nation Israel throughout the world. That, of course, is an estimation. But out of that number, the percentage of those that are believers today is probably better than of the Gentile world with, what, 3 billion here on this earth? And that means that the percentage, actually, of Israel is greater than probably any other people. And that is something for us to keep in mind. We have seen that the nation rejected Christ and the righteousness of God in Christ, which was offered them by faith. And God has rejected them as a nation temporarily. And two questions naturally arise. Has God permanently rejected them as a nation? In other words, does the nation Israel have a future? Are all the promises of the Old Testament nullified by the rejection of Israel? God promised primacy to the nation Israel in the Old Testament. He said they'll be the head and not the tail of the nation. All the promises of the Old Testament will have a literal fulfillment. Paul makes that clear. And this present age of grace was anticipated in the Old Testament, and today the remnant is finding salvation as the Gentiles do. Now, what's his future purpose with Israel? Well, we find out that the remnant today will be regathered as a nation and redeemed in the future. That's God's future purpose. But the remnant of Israel today is finding salvation. And that's in the first 6 verses. Will you notice it? Listen to Paul. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. What people is he talking about? Israel, friends. And in case the amillennialist misses this, Paul put it here so he wouldn't miss it. And he put it here so the liberal wouldn't miss it either. Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, if I didn't have any other scripture but this, and I've got thousands of scriptures, by the way, to back this up. But if I didn't have any but this, it would be sufficient. God has not cast away Israel as a nation. Just because he has a present purpose today of calling out a people throughout the world, and Paul makes that purpose very clear in this chapter here. And it's true that he's talking about those that are descended from Abraham. And Paul says he's of the tribe of Benjamin, and it means the 12 tribes of Israel. He belonged to a tribe that never seceded from the nation. He could not be called a disloyal Israelite. He was an Israelite 100%. Now, verses 2 and 3. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not, or know ye not, what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. Now, I love this. Paul uses old Elijah's an illustration, and believe me, he makes a good one. Now, Elijah stood for God, and he stood alone. I admire that man standing alone yonder on the top of Mount Carmel. Here is a man standing for God, and Noah stood alone for God. But here Elijah goes to the Lord to complain. He says, I'm alone, no one. And God says, wait a minute, you think you're alone, but you're not. And he says that there's 7,000 that have never bowed the knee. God has always had a remnant. Now, these are the folk God has chosen.